ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 12 चैप्टर 13 द ग्लोरीज ऑफ श्रीमद्भागवतम टेक्स्ट 13। प्रोष्ठपद्याम् पौर्णमास्याम् हेम सिंह समन्वितं ददाति यः भागवतं सह याति परमां गतिम्। प्रोष्ठपद्यां पौर्णमास्यां हेमसिंहसमन्वितं ददाति यो भागवतं स याति परमां गतिम्। प्रोष्ठपद्यां पौर्णमास्यां हेमसिंहसमन्वितं ददाति यो भागवतं स याति परमां गतिम्। प्रोष्ठपद्यां पौर्णमास्यां हेमसिंहसमन्वितं ददाति यो भागवतं स याति परमां गतिम्। सिंहासमन्वितं ते परमां गतिम्। पौर्णमास्यां सिंहासमन्वितं तियो भागवतं ते परमां गतिम्। प्रोष्ठपद्यां पौर्णमास्यां समन्वितं तियो भागवतं परमां गतिम्। माताजीस् पौर्णमास्यां हेमसिंहसमन्वितं ददाति यो भागवतं स याति परमां गतिम्। प्रोष्ठपद्यां इन द मंथ ऑफ भाद्र Purnamasyam, on the full moon day, Hema Singha, upon a golden throne, Samanvitam, seated, Dadati, gives as a gift, Yaha, who, Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Saha, he, Yati, goes, Paramam, to the Supreme, Gatim, destination. Translation and purport. Translation: if on the full moon day of the month of Bhadra, one places Srimad Bhagavatam on a golden throne and gives it as a gift, he will attain the supreme transcendental destination. Purport: one should place Srimad Bhagavatam on a golden throne because it is the king of all literature. On the full moon day of the month of Bhadra, the sun, which is compared to this king of literatures, is present in the constellation Leo and looks as if raised up on a royal throne. According to astrology, the sun is said to be exalted in the sign of Leo. Thus, one may unreservedly worship Srimad Bhagavatam, the supreme divine scripture. Please repeat the translation. If on the full moon day of the month of Bhadra, one places Srimad Bhagavatam on a golden throne and gives it as a gift, he will attain the supreme transcendental destination. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhobhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha. Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Svarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam. रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधो वर्गेणया कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेमापुमर्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादर न परः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो टुडे इज द ऑस्पिशियस डे ऑफ Bhadra Purnima, the full moon day in the month of Bhadra, considered very auspicious for many reasons. And thus, the Srimad Bhagavatam declares, as we have read in this verse, that one who gifts the Srimad Bhagavatam on a golden throne will attain the supreme transcendental destination, sa yati paramam gatim. Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada mentions, on any full moon day, if one gifts the Srimad Bhagavatam to someone, then one attains the transcendental destination. And one may expand that to say, if one gifts it on any day, or even in the night, then one is assured of the transcendental destination. It's only a question of the intensity. Just like devotional service performed at any time gives enormous transcendental benefit. But when it is performed on certain days, like Ekadashi, it has enhanced, increased benefits. And when that Ekadashi falls in certain months like Kartik, for example, it has even greater benefit. So devotional service is always transcendental and always immensely beneficial. However, there are certain days where the effect is more pronounced. So Bhadra Purnima is one of those days when the gifting of Srimad Bhagavatam acquires greater significance, and therefore it is mentioned here. The question often arises, why place the Bhagavatam on a golden throne? And the answer is given here in the purport. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the king of all literature. There is no literature higher than the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore it is befitting that when one gifts the Srimad Bhagavatam, one should place it on a golden throne. Just as even an ordinary king sits on a throne, and a very mighty king sits on a golden throne. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, the king of all literature, is much greater than the mightiest of kings. So therefore, the only worthy seat for the holy Srimad Bhagavatam is a golden throne. Of course, far more important than a throne made of gold, a physical throne, is when we place the Bhagavatam on the golden throne of our heart. In other words, the gifting of the Srimad Bhagavatam is not merely a mechanical act of giving a book to someone. It is a question of the devoted heart that is behind that gift. That is also very important. The exchange of gifts is a very important part of not just devotional culture, but human culture in general. Dadati pratigrahanati, as Srila Rupa Goswami says. And we all know that in the giving or the exchange of gifts, the mentality of the person who gifts is very important. Even in ordinary day-to-day life, if someone gifts someone something, but the recipient of the gift understands that the gift is not offered in a proper spirit, it's being done just as a formality, it is being done just just to show that I feel something for you, whereas actually I don't feel so. So the recipient immediately understands. It is better we give something small, but give it with genuine feeling, than to give something big, but without any genuine devotion. After all, Sri Krishna is known as Prem Pujari. He is looking for our love. And therefore, when he says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, you may offer to me a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or some water, he says, Yome Bhaktya Prayachati, Tadaham Bhakti Upaharitam Ashnami Prayatatmanaha. He accepts it from his devotee because the devotee offers such things to him with devotion. So what Krishna is looking for is not the leaf or the fruit or the flower or the water, but the devotion that goes behind that offering to him. So the same principle applies. Whenever we offer something to someone, it has to be offered with the appropriate devotional feeling. That is what the other person appreciates. When a child asks the parent for some money and then goes out and buys some gift for the parent on his or her birthday, the parent is surprised pleasantly and is very happy, not because he or she receives some gift. It is because the child has taken the money from the parent. It doesn't belong to the child, it is the money of the parent. So the child has taken the money of the parent and got a gift for the parent, which most likely the parent may never even use. But what pleases the parent very much is that the child has been thoughtful enough to acquire such a gift in the first place and then offer it to the parent with love. So the parent is actually accepting that love of the child. So similarly, when we offer to Krishna anything, of course, that is offerable, not that which is not offerable, we do it in a spirit of devotion. And that principle applies when we would gift anything to anyone, especially when it is a devotional item. And what better gift can we offer than the Srimad Bhagavatam? So when we offer the Srimad Bhagavatam to someone, it should be done in a spirit of devotion on the throne of our heart. And if you're wealthy enough to place it on a golden throne, so be it. But most of us are not wealthy enough to get a physical throne of gold. So that physical throne may be substituted by a throne, a heart of gold. Place the Bhagavatam there and give it to someone whom you know very well. Another reason for the golden throne is also mentioned here in the purport, which is that the sun on this day appears in the constellation of Leo. Leo is lion. The lion is the king of animals. So therefore, when the sun, which also represents the king, actually, anyone who has kingly qualities or leadership qualities, the sun must be very strong in his constellation. So the sun happens to be present in Leo on this particular day, And therefore, according to astrology, the sun is said to be, being in this constellation, the gifting of the Srimad Bhagavatam is done on a seat on a golden throne. The important thing, however, as I mentioned, is not the throne, but the Bhagavatam and the feeling with which this is offered. Now, this chapter in which this verse appears is the 13th chapter of the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the final chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is titled The Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse is spoken by Suta Goswami. Shukadev Goswami finishes speaking to Parikshit Maharaj in the sixth chapter of the twelfth canto. Parikshit Maharaj is thoroughly satiated now. After 7 days of continuous hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he is fully satisfied and fully ready to face death. Shukadev Goswami asks him, "So my dear Parikshit, is there anything else you would like to hear or know?" And Parikshit Maharaj says, "O great sage, thank you very much. You have completely prepared me to face death. Now let this snake Takshaka, whatever it may be, come and bite me. I am ready to face death." So Shukadev Goswami, seeing that Parikshit Maharaj is fully ready, prepared, he gets up and walks away. The other sages are anxious. They are waiting to see what will happen. When will this Takshak snake bird come and bite Parikshit, and what's going to happen? But Shukadev Goswami has done his job. He knows Parikshit Maharaj is going back to Godhead. And whatever happens, whatever drama or adventure happens at the time when Takshak comes, there will be a lot of noise, there will be an uproar in the assembled sages over there, and Parikshit Maharaj will go back to Godhead in a spectacular fashion. Shukadev Goswami was very intent on just absorbing his consciousness in the pastimes of the Lord. So there was enough drama going on in his heart. He was witnessing the ultimate drama of the pastimes of the Lord. And he knew that now Parikshit Maharaj was well situated. There was no more need for him to be there. So he walked out of the whole scene, and continued his walking wherever the Lord guided him from within the heart. So Suta Goswami continues the narration to the sages at Naimisharanya. And he begins this final chapter of the Bhagavatam by listing out the 18 main Puranas. They are called the Mahapuranas. The word Puran, as the word indicates, means ancient. So pastimes of the Lord that have happened in very ancient times and that are recorded in these scriptures. These are historical accounts, as Srila Prabhupada takes pain to mention every now and then. They are not to be considered mythology. So Suta Goswami mentions each Purana, each of these 18 Puranas, and also mentions how many verses there are in each of them. He also mentions the Srimad Bhagavatam as one of those 18. And he says that the total of these verses in all the Puranas is 400,000. So 400,000 verses in all the Puranas. And then he concludes by mentioning once again the Srimad Bhagavatam and the fact that it has 18,000 verses. Now, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his comments, answers the question that may understandably be asked: what is the need to mention all these other Puranas when the Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest Purana? So Srila Chakravarti Pad answers this question and says, when a king is glorified, his assistants are also mentioned. For example, when Lord Narayana is glorified in Vaikuntha, then you will find Sri Devi, Bhu Devi, Nila Devi, Garuda, and all the assistants and their associates mentioned, because that adds to the glorification of the Lord. So similarly, when the king of all literatures, Srimad Bhagavatam, has to be glorified, then the other attendant subsidiary literatures are also mentioned to add to the glory of that great scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, the Srimad Bhagavatam is further glorified. Srila Jiva Goswami also, quoting from the Matsya Purana, which incidentally Srila Prabhupada says elsewhere is the oldest Purana, Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that these 18 Puranas contain 400,000 verses, and the Matsya Purana says that these 18 Puranas were composed by Vyasadeva. Then he composed the Mahabharata, which contains 100,000 verses. And incidentally, Jiva Goswami says here that the original Ramayana, which was spoken by Valmiki Muni, or composed by Valmiki Muni, was originally spoken in the higher planets. The Ramayana that we know, that is extant on it within human society, has 24,000 verses. But there is a Ramayana spoken by Lord Brahma that has 1 billion verses. And Brahma spoke the Ramayana in brief to Narada and to Valmiki. Narada also spoke this to Valmiki. So what we have today is a very, very condensed version of the Ramayana. Of course, there is no limit to the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. And therefore, any number of verses is actually inadequate. But whatever is existing within the material world in the higher planets, that's being spoken of. And a very small, abridged version of that is available to us in 24,000 verses. So we have 400,000 verses of the Puranas, and we have roughly 120,000 to 125,000 verses of the Itihasas, which primarily include the Mahabharata and the Ramayana. So all in all, for the Puranas and the Itihasas, we have 525,000 verses. So this is the comment of Srila Jiva Goswami. And again, Jiva Goswami mentions, why is the Srimad Bhagavatam mentioned once again after the 18 Puranas have been mentioned? Within those 18 Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam was mentioned, but again after that list, Srimad Bhagavatam is again mentioned. What is the reason for that? Srila Jiva Goswami says that in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third chapter, Srila Suta Goswami mentions a long list of incarnations of the Lord. And at the end of it, after he has completed this list, he says, Ete chamsakala punsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. Amongst all these different forms, they are all the Supreme Lord. But Krishna, they are all Bhagavan. But Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. The word Swayam indicates self or original, to emphasize that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. The term Swayam prefixes the term Bhagavan. Ete cha ansha kalaha. Ete, that means these. Which ones? The ones that have been mentioned earlier. All the other forms of Godhead that have been mentioned earlier, ete, cha, anshakalaha, they are either the expansions or the expansions of the expansions of the original Supreme Lord. And that original Supreme Lord is Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So just as Krishna's name is mentioned once again at the end of the list of all the incarnations to emphasize his preeminence, Similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam, although being listed as one of the Puranas, is mentioned once again at the end of it, is meant to emphasize that it is the greatest of the Puranas. The Srimad Bhagavatam also mentions Sarva Vedetihasanam Saram Saram Samudhritam. Sarva, all, Veda Itihasanam. Of all the Vedas and the Itihasas, the Vedic literature actually includes everything. It includes the Vedanta Sutra, the Upanishads, the Puranas, the Agama Shastras, everything is included in that. The Sarva Vedetihasanam Saram Saram Samudhritam. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of the essence of all the transcendental Vedic literature. And in this chapter also, Suta Goswami continues by saying something very similar. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tad Rasamrita Triptasya Nanyatra Syad Ratih Kvachit. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedanta Sutra. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate. Elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that actually Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on the Brahma Sutra or the Vedanta Sutra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has expounded very elaborately on this theme in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but we do not have the time now to discuss that. Suffice it to say that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Actually, in these circles of sadhus in India, it is the norm that for any sampradaya to be considered bona fide, it must have its own original commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And for long, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not have such a separately written commentary. So this matter came up for discussion in the court of Jai Singh in Jaipur, when the bona fides of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was questioned by some other devotees who were not in this sampradaya. And Baladev Vidya Bhushan mentioned that actually we don't need a separate commentary because the Srimad Bhagavatam is itself the natural commentary. Srila Prabhupada mentions that who knows the purpose of a text better than the author of that text? And therefore, if the author of the Vedanta Sutra, who is Srila Vyasadev, has himself compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he declares that this Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, what is the need for a separate commentary? But nevertheless, just for the sake of satisfying so many skeptics, Baladev Vidya Bhushan went ahead, and by the mercy of Govinda Dev in Jaipur, he composed the Govinda Bhashya, the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. He named it Govinda Bhashya to dedicate it to Lord Govinda, by whose mercy he was able to compile this commentary. And also further on in this chapter, the 13th chapter of the 12th canto, Srila Suta Goswami gives another illustration to show how the Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest scripture. Nimna ganam yatha ganga, devanam achyuto yatha, vaishnavanam yatha shampuhu, puranaanam idam tatha. When we want to illustrate something, we give examples, we give analogies. Just as something, similarly something else. So this kind of form of literature is very commonly found in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other Vedic literatures. Nimna ganam. Nimna means downwards. Gana means to go. So what goes downwards? Rivers. So rivers are also sometimes called Nimna Gana. So Nimna Ganam Yatha Ganga, as Yatha, as amongst all the rivers which flow downward from the mountains into the sea, the Ganga is the greatest. Devanam, amongst all the Devas, Achyuta or Sri Krishna is the greatest. And similarly, amongst all the Vaishnavas, amongst all the devotees of Lord Hari, Lord Shiva is the greatest. Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhuhu. This Purana is the greatest. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest. So Bhagavatam is, this Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the greatest Purana amongst all. And of course later Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Mamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. So this is called the Amala Purana. Amala, that which is without any contamination. So this Purana is called the spotless Purana because there is no contamination of anything material, as is declared in the very second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Prochita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. So contamination means that there is no materialistic motive that is possible within the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who are nirmatsara, free of envy and jealousy, or those who want to be free from envy and jealousy of others and who are sincerely following in the footsteps of great Mahajans. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has declared also, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachitupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam Premapumartho Mahan. So he says, the greatest Pramana, Pramana means evidence. Shastra is Pramana for us. We believe in something, we accept something because it is stated in scripture. This is the basis of our belief or faith. This is where we take real knowledge from. So amongst all the literatures, amongst all the sources of evidence, the Vedic literature is considered real evidence, the topmost evidence. And amongst all the literatures that are found in the house of the Vedas, so to speak, because there are innumerable literatures found in the house of the Vedas, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost. There may be other forms of Vedic literature, but they have the contamination of matter. For example, the Karma Kanda scriptures, they are authentic, authorized Vedic scriptures, but they encourage worldly mindedness in the name of religion. Therefore, one can try to obtain some worldly pleasures by performing certain religious rituals. And because Srila Vyasadeva had written so many such scriptures, when Narad Muni, the great devotee of the Lord, approached Vyasadeva, and Narad Muni is Vyasadeva's guru, he approached him and mildly reprimanded him and said, my dear Muni, you are so scholarly, you are such an elevated sage, why have you simply compiled scriptures that encourage sense gratification in the name of religion? It is not becoming of you. Please compile something that only extols the virtues of Lord Hari, of Lord Krishna, and that speaks about the messages and pastimes of Lord Krishna. And thus it was that Vyasadev was inspired to sit and compose this Srimad Bhagavatam. So this contains the topmost evidence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has declared this as the Amala Pramana Mamalam, as the spotless Pramana, or the evidence. because it is evidence free from any material contamination. And it is here that we get an understanding of the greatest form of the Lord, of the Absolute Truth, as the Lord of Vrindavan. And finally, of course, since we are speaking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion, Sri Chaitanya Matamidam Tatra Adarhana Paraha, because we have the highest regard for the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he has come here to inaugurate and spread the Sankirtan movement in this age of Kali, it is fitting to speak about the very last verse of this chapter, and which is also the last verse of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Shamanas Tam Namami Harim Param. The meaning of this verse is that I offer my obeisances, Tam Namami Harim Param, to that Supreme Hari, the Supreme Lord, by the chanting, by the congregational chanting of whose names, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam, all one's sins are destroyed. And Pranamaha, by offering obeisances unto whom, Dukkha Shamanas, all one's miseries are subdued. So I offer my obeisances to that Lord Hari. Of course, elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that the goal of life is not merely the mitigation of one's sinful reactions or one's suffering. Rather, prema pumartho mahan, that developing love for Lord Krishna, this prema bhakti is the ultimate goal of one's life. And that is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. It doesn't speak ultimately of anything apart from pure bhakti, from pure Krishna prema. Any other topics that may be discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam are merely incidental, or they are spoken with the intention of somehow or the other bringing within its fold of pure devotion those who may not initially be inclined to this path. But ultimately the goal is to bring everyone on the path of Krishna Prema. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam must be discussed only in the society of devotees. Those who do not have devotion for the Lord, or those who do not wish to progress in the path of devotional service to the Lord, do not have authority, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, to comment upon the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita the episode where a certain poet comes and starts composing verses, and he wants the devotees in Jagannath Puri to hear about these verses. And Swarup Damodar is very reluctant to hear them. But because one of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhagavan Acharya, pleads with him, and because Bhagavan Acharya is such a saintly and pure-hearted devotee, Swarup Damodar reluctantly agrees. Swarup Damodar is very wary of people, anyone and everyone who just comes and wants to compose verses about the Srimad Bhagavatam, because he knows that they do not have the correct understanding of the Siddhanta, the real principles and the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is very likely that they will make some philosophical mistakes in their compositions. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a rule, would never directly hear any composition by anyone unless it was first heard and cleared by Swarup Damodar, who was his secretary. So Bhagavan Acharya knew this, so he requested Swarup Damodar to please hear this first. Finally, Swarup Damodar heard it, and he detected many faults. And out of great compassion, he scolded that poet and made corrections, the philosophical corrections that were due. Fortunately, that poet was very humble. He accepted his mistakes. And then, very kindly, Swarup Damodar told him, Jaho Bhagavata Padho Bhagavata Sthane. That if you want to study Bhagavatam, you have to go to the person Bhagavatam. So go and study the book Bhagavatam from the person Bhagavatam. There are two Bhagavatas. Bhagavatam is that which is connected to Bhagavat. Actually, the word Bhagavan is not the original word. The original word is Bhagavat. From Bhagavat then comes Bhagavan. Also, the word Bhagavat comes from there. So that which is connected to Bhagavat is Bhagavat. So because the devotee of the Lord is so intimately connected to the Lord, he is also called Bhagavat. And because the book, Srimad Bhagavatam, also is intimately connected to him, that is also called Bhagavat. But to distinguish the person Bhagavat from the book Bhagavat, we refer to the book as Bhagavatam, which is in neutral gender. So therefore we have Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you want to know the Bhagavatam, we must go to the Bhagavata, the person Bhagavata. So therefore Srila Prabhupada has brought this Srimad Bhagavatam into popular awareness and consciousness. He has explained every single verse, explained every word of every verse, given the meanings, given the translation. And in most of the verses, he has written commentaries, his purports, which make it easy for us to understand what this Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. Srila Prabhupada also mentions in one conversation or a letter perhaps that I want Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita to be in the house of every respectable person. It's quite a tall order. That order is for us to execute. So on occasions such as this, the Bhadra Purnima occasion, where the Bhagavatam itself says one should gift the Srimad Bhagavatam to someone, it is one small way in which we can try to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire to see that there is one set of Srimad Bhagavatam in the house of every respectable person. And even if the person is socially considered not respectable, quote unquote, we can make that person respectable by making Bhagavatam reside in his house. Real respectability, of course, is not merely material. Real respectability is when we surrender to the Supreme Lord and become his devotees. So this is a wonderful occasion for us to meditate on the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And now I think we will have the next part of the program. I think His Grace Bhima Prabhu will be speaking for some time. In the meanwhile, we have just 1 minute left. If any of our senior devotees present here would like to make any comments on the contents of the talk today. Devakinandan Prabhu Maharaj, Brajahari Prabhu, any comments you would like to make? Okay, so we will go on to the next part of the program. Thank you. Bhima Prabhu, you can sit here.